The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
Bill Kilmer in for vacationing Paul Miller, and we bring on board Ralph Polovich and Caleb Gordon as we talk history of WPHM. And you can't talk history of WPHM without talking history of the Port Huron Times Herald, because if you figure out the original call letters, it was something like what, WTTH?
WTTH, which for was, Times, yeah, the Times Herald.
Yeah, for radio buffs, the W always stood for radio, and then it was radio something, and it was radio the Times Herald, is how you would actually say
and
it.
And the reason we're having this conversation today, Bill, and I appreciate you and Ralph coming in here, and I'm glad that the timing worked out, but between the two of you covered, you know, Port Huron history for better part of half a century now. Sorry to make you feel old, but
it's okay, we earned it.
Yeah, that's true. It's
but
true.
We're celebrating 75 years on the air this year, December 6th of 1947. We went on the air as WTTH. Yesterday, I aired part of the interview that Paul and I, very similar situation here, Paul and I, talked to Gene Umler, who owned the station for some 16 years back in the 70s and 80s.
Interform Incorporated.
Exactly. Yeah. But before Interform, it was the Times Herald, and that's why, thanks to a good friend.
Ralph.
Friend of ours, Garth Crewell, put us in touch, and he said, you know, you got to talk to Ralph. If you want to talk about TTH, you got to talk to Ralph. So, Ralph, thank you for coming.
Oh, certainly. Hey, glad to be here.
Yeah, it's been many, many years, and we've seen many, many news stories.
We certainly did.
But I gotta ask: is other than you and I didn't get here until 1979, so I certainly don't count. But how many people are left that you can remember at the Times Herald when the radio station was also there?
Oh, they're all gone.
They're all. That's
fine. My God, we're talking about 75 years.
Yeah.
And I, you know, when they came on the air, I was 12 years old.
Okay. All right. We're getting all the dates figured out now.
We are.
You started at the Times Herald when?
1952.
52.
Yes.
And the station was there then.
Exactly. Yes. In fact, it was in the building next door to the newspaper building on 6th Street, and it was. Connected by some stairs, and anyway, we had good traffic in between. Now, in those days, we also had a broadcast booth in the newsroom of the Times Herald on the second floor.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah, and they would broadcast news bulletins if they came in on the AP wire, and they also had regular news broadcasts. I think 3 or 5 minutes. Programs on a regular basis, so the extra news feelers around the community paid off on the air, because they had a group of newsmen who also would broadcast from the newsroom of the Times Herald.
I seem to remember paying even into the 70s the best news tip of the week.
Oh.
Kind of thing. It was like $13.80.
So, no, $13.80. Yeah, great.
And that had lasted quite a while, but no longer. But they used to even pay UPI, I believe, and which was United Press International,
yes.
And
yes.
Associated Press from time to time, would actually pay reporters for stories that they ran. It was, mm-hmm. I don't know, 20 cents a word or some mechanism that they used. What else do you remember from that era?
Well, here's the thing. The paper, I think the one person that you could say was the originator was Granger Weil. He was the publisher's son, the publisher of the newspaper. And Granger Weil was the boss. His father, of course, had to agree to that. But in those days, newspapers ran radio stations. WWJ in Detroit was the Detroit News.
Absolutely.
And so after World War II, there was a great expansion of pent-up demand that people had. And there was... enough room for two radio stations, although they were fierce competitors. They would compete for the same pot of advertising money.
Yeah.
But anyway, Granger was the one that was the force at the Times Herald. By the way, the December of 1947, 47 was the year that Al Capone died. just to kind
just
of put
to add
that
another historical
little
mark.
History. Yeah.
Wow.
That's more you needed to know about that.
Now, Bill, you worked for the beginning of your career, correct me if I'm wrong, WHLS.
Right.
Which was the longtime competitor, Ralph, as you were talking
about,
was on the air before.
Absolutely.
WTTH
they were here first, yes.
Yep. So I was with WHLS, hired as a news person under the late Tony Bruscato. Mm-hmm.
Was John Wismer the boss then?
John Wismer owned and operated. They were family operations. A lot of radio stations were back then. He also acquired a license for a station they called WSAQ that became a country station, a very popular country station at that. And the focus kind of went towards that station as opposed to WHLS. It was on the FM format. AM formats were kind of falling out of disfavor in a lot of markets, including ours. WPHM continued to play a mix of music and news throughout the day. You had, back in my era, my goodness, you had the news people were Dave Allen, David Moore, both of them ended up in the Grand Rapids market. Both are retired if they're still with us. Virginia Coulthart, you might remember
that
name.
Oh, yeah, I remember Virginia.
Yeah, she, I believe, married a state representative, Muxlow.
Muxlow.
And
she's from a prominent St. Clair family, by the way.
Yes, I believe so. Yeah. So Virginia was on the air for a long time. There was some kind of, it was like an auction show. It was a call-in
Tradio.
It was Tradio that was very popular.
Still very popular.
Yeah, popular.
Some more rural markets.
Some markets it still sells, but it was really big in Port Huron on WPHM. Ralph.
Our slant on that idea was the WTTH sponsored a charity for the March of Dimes.
That is true.
They had a call-in. If you would want to make a gift of a product or a service, you could have it be auctioned off, and people would bid on that service or object. But that evolved into that was March Dimes, by the way.
Right.
That evolved into the Jail and Bail, which originated in Port Huron.
In Port Huron.
What was his name?
That was back in the WTTH days and continued on into the WPHM days. There was a sheriff, probably.
Yeah. Oh, Lee Van Dam.
Lee Van Dam.
Lee Van Dam was the originator of Jail and Bail, which was recognized by the National March of Dimes and was widespread then. They did the March of Dimes idea across the country.
Across the country. It's highly popular.
Very good.
It's not that it was profitable, but it was the biggest moneymaker going for the March of Dimes back in those days.
Lee Van Dam went from here. He bought a radio station in Newberry, Michigan, in the Upper Peninsula.
He got away.
Out of nowhere. Boy, he got away. Wow. All right.
Yeah, he got away. Yeah. PHM was well known for the March of Dimes for years and years and years.
Yep.
I believe WHLS and John Wismer were more aligned to like the United Way
of
St. Clair County and whatever the community foundation was back in those days. Had several readers. But it was much smaller Port Huron concern, brick and mortar back in those days. But that was very big, and even those items were competitive. I can remember, whatever you do, Bill, don't say anything about the March of Dimes. What are you talking about? I got to say something about it. They raised almost $1 million.
You know, one of our editors, Louis Dunn, was married to a woman from Sanilac County, and she got polio. And so he had a personal interest in the March of Dimes. Louis Dunn and his wife Deal were very nice, gracious people, and she was in an iron lung in those days. Remember that?
Oh,
those great big tubes.
And, you and I escaped that stuff.
Oh, certainly did. We got the polio vaccine.
Yeah, lucky. Lucky. We got lucked out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
I got to ask you, in all your years with the Times Herald, what were some of the more famous or at least the most memorable stories?
Well, you did? I think the tornado in 1953, May 21st, 1953. Now, our broadcast facility, we had studios downtown, but we had the broadcast engineering stuff was on Dove Road up beyond 32nd Street. Mm-hmm. And when the tornado came through here, started in the Smith Creek area, and it came within 200 yards of the broadcast facility, and a guy by the name of Robin Bussey was, I guess you call him a disc jockey in those days, broadcast a play-by-play of the tornado as it passed by. Yeah, hey, folks downtown, watch out, there's a tornado coming. Government officials credit him with saving lives because people would seek shelter. And so Robin was got a lot of acclaim for that broadcast. And, can you imagine 150-mile-an-hour winds blowing at you from 200 yards away? Oh, boy.
You're talking on the air about it.
Yeah. How do you find the words?
Talking of Ralph Palovich, retired from the Times Herald when?
2000.
In the year 2000?
I've been retired 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm not there yet. Have you enjoyed retirement?
Oh, yes. I watched my tomatoes grow and fascinating
I've
stuff.
I've got some of the same feeling. I do crazy things like run for county commission once in a while.
Yeah, well, keep at it.
But the tomato growing is a lot easier.
What do you want to be when you grow up?
Yeah, that's something I keep asking myself. I want to be a politician. Nobody else wants me.
That's not true.
No, it's not.
Ralph, I want to bring up a story that you told me. We have a little bit of time in this segment, and I think we'll bring you back for another segment if you don't mind.
Okay.
But you're talking about the Dove Road transmitter site facilities, which were built for both AM and FM broadcasting. In fact, WTTH, if you really want to look at it this way, was the first FM station in St. Clair County, albeit brief.
Yes. Yeah, they gave up the FM part of it, which was not a very smart move, by the way.
I think it's 99.1 was the 99.1
so
megahertz.
They had a dual broadcast, did they, or has separate?
Oh, they had separate programming in some. They may have had the same programming for part of it, but I know they had. Well, for instance, in those days, the Times Herald sponsored the Golden Gloves.
Okay.
Boxing for young people. And the Golden Gloves broadcast was done by Ed Sinesco, who was also a sports writer for the Times Herald, later became sports editor, and then sports editor at Lansing. Well, anyway, he broadcast the play-by-play of the boxing matches on FM. I don't know why they didn't carry it on AM, too. But anyway, that was more than you needed to know about that.
Wow. AM and FM started out for TTH.
You know, I appreciate you telling me that, Ralph, because some of the documents I have show an FM antenna on the WTTH towers, the ones you were referencing on Dove Road. And I said, why is there an FM antenna on this AM tower? Well, it turns out there was actually an FM station.
Yeah,
you just don't hear it.
The same towers that were there?
No. That was moved in, I think, 68. When the power was upped from 1,000 watts to 5,000 watts, and I think, I know we were originally on 1360 and jumped up to 1380. I don't know if that change also happened when sites changed, but it wasn't until the 60s until we moved to our present day transmitter.
And I'm going to use a Range Road, right?
But there's a strange array of antennas. It's not just one.
That's right.
Five?
It's six towers. Six?
Seven, right.
And they use four for daytime and three for nighttime, something like that.
Yeah, four for night and six for day.
Okay.
And we still have to switch patterns and still have to, you know, keep all the parameters and stuff, protect other stations on 1380.
The idea is that there's like 10 stations on 1380 and everyone's protecting everyone else by having special antenna systems.
Exactly. Now, Ralph, I think maybe now might be a good time to take a break.
Sure.
Okay.
We're going to play some commercials.
Some coffee, donuts.
If you don't mind,
donuts, right?
Stick around for the next segment. Let's okay. talk a little bit more about not just WPHM and WTGH, but what it's been like reporting the news here in Port Huron
for the past
several decades. So we'll rejoin this conversation momentarily. Bill, Ralph, thank you for both coming in.
Yep. Glad to do it.